to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, church. My name's Matt, and this is Amy and Waverly, and we're excited to read God's Word for you this morning. The passage we'll be reading from is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, and this section of Scripture is entitled The Call of Abram.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.
I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.
I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran.
He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there.
Good morning, and welcome to church on this beautiful Sunday. It's great to have you here, both on site and online. My name's Matt. I'm one of the associate pastors here at GBC. And as Mark said, we are continuing in our series, The Courageous Life. And the whole reason that we felt it was important to spend some time reflecting on courage and what it looks like to be courageous is because of our church's purpose statement, where we believe that we are called to courageously take up the invitation from God to participate in what He's doing in our world. And so it kind of assumes that courage plays an important role in our life as followers of Jesus. As we seek to participate with God and take up His invitation and see His hand at work in our lives, courage is a necessary aspect of our spiritual journey. And so as a result, it seems right that we ask some questions of courage. What is courage exactly? Is it strength? Strength of character? Strength of will? Is courage about wisdom, knowing when to act and when to be still? Is it fearlessness that despite the barriers, despite the resistance and the boundaries that we might experience in our day-to-day lives, we find the will to kind of push through and keep moving? There's also the question of when do we use courage? If you were with us last week, you would have heard Mark share the first person narrative, reflecting on the story of Esther. This woman who found herself in the king's court and able to speak into, advocate on behalf of her people to the king to stop a genocide. She was there for a time just like this. A situation where the stakes were high, the timing was critical, and the need for courage was overt. And these are powerful stories. They're awe-inspiring, but they're not always obtainable for us, are we? Are they? That isn't always when we need to use courage. I don't know about you, but the meetings that I'm sitting in on week to week are not determining the future of a nation and whether or not they live or not. You might be different. But for us, I think so often when courage is required, the opportunities can be quite small. The stakes can be seemingly low and the need for courage can be quite subtle. And then there's the question of where does courage come from? And I think this is an important starting point as we consider what the courageous life looks like. And it's the question that I kind of want to unpack for us by looking at the story of Abraham. Because when we consider where courage comes from, I think we can come with the assumption that it comes from within, that we need to find it somewhere deep within us, that courage is innately planted somewhere deep below the surface. It's not easily accessible, but there's a process of kind of reaching in and drawing it up when we need it. That courage comes from us. We are the courageous people. And I actually think that the story of Abraham demonstrates that that isn't always the case. There are times where that is true, sure. But there are also times where courage comes not from within us, but from the external influences, the external forces and external people who create a space for courage around us, who enable us through what they do, through what is happening in the world around us, enable us to step out courageously. And I think this is exactly where we find Abraham and his courage. Because for me, when I first look at Abraham, I do not see a particularly courageous man. I see someone crippled by fear, who fumbles into failure repeatedly. And yet, we see him courageously step into the fulfillment of God's promise. How? Where does that courage come from? Because it's not coming from him. And I believe that what we see in his story is that it comes from God. It comes from God's faithfulness. Because Abraham's story is one not characterized by courage, but one of fear. But it is actually God's faithfulness that creates space for courage to unfold. So we're going to unpack this notion in Abraham's story. If you have your Bible with you, open them up. We're starting at chapter 12. I've got to admit, Abraham's story does span a little while in Genesis, 13 chapters. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit. But his story starts in chapter 12, and it starts with a promise. God meets Abraham, then Abram, and he makes a very big, very powerful promise to him, that he's going to make him a great nation, that he's going to make him a great name, that he's going to bless him, that he's going to give him land. God establishes a promise with Abraham, a promise to prosper him and to bless him. And it is from this promise that we see Abraham take his first courageous step. Abraham was settled. He was established. He had a home. He had a livelihood. He had a life where he was. And it was only once God promised him something that God said, I'm going to be faithful to this declaration that I've made to you, that Abraham was able to step courageously out of that and to go into the promised land. This is the first time that we see Abraham act courageously, and it's not because he just woke up one day and felt a bit of pep in his step and thought, I'm going somewhere, I'm going places. It's because God first made a faithful promise to him, and that provided the grounding, that provided the foundation for Abraham to step out faithfully. And we see this continue throughout his story. We see Abraham repeatedly go through this pattern of responding first out of fear, fumbling into failure, but being met with the faithfulness of God. And it is only from the launch pad of God's faithfulness that he is then able to step out courageously. There are two clear instances for me in Abraham's story that kind of first demonstrate that he's not naturally a courageous man, but actually one riddled with fear. And the first we find in chapter 12, after he leaves his homeland, goes into the promised land and enters into Egypt. Abraham is fearful of what is going to happen to him. He's fearful that he's going to be killed because his wife is so attractive. He thought that the Egyptians would kill him in order that they could take her. And so what does he do? He lies. He lies and says, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister, because that makes sense, and hopes for the best. seemingly forgetting the promise that God has just made to him, a promise to prosper and bless him, a promise to make a great nation out of him. Abraham seems to forget that he's kind of important in that promise and that God would probably want to keep him around, but fear has overwhelmed him, fear for his own life, and so he lies. And as a result, Pharaoh takes Sarah. God then curses Pharaoh, and somehow Abraham comes out of this situation with more than what he had in the beginning. Somehow he comes out more blessed. Go figure, the faithfulness of God. But that doesn't stop there. His fearfulness doesn't stop there. We then see it repeated again. Later on in the story in chapter 16, Abraham is again overwhelmed by fear. Fear that he will never have the son that he's been promised. Fear that he and his wife will never have children. And so that fear overwhelming him, he comes up with another brilliant plan, as Abraham has a beautiful skill of doing. Rather than waiting on the promise of God, maybe what God meant was that they can have a child through Sarah's maid Hagar. And so he has a son, Ishmael. Again, he is crippled by fear. He forgets the fact that God has made this promise. And each time Abraham is overwhelmed by fear, we see him not only fail, but we see him completely detour from the plans and purposes of God. This is not a courageous life. This is not a courageous man. This is not someone who is finding courage deep within themselves. And yet what is incredible, in each of these occasions, each time Abraham is overwhelmed by fear, each time that fear leads him to fail, each time this fear leads him to forget the promises that God has made, God shows up and reminds him. And doesn't just remind him of the promises that he makes, but reinforces them, reiterates them and solidifies them even more. Straight after his debacle in Egypt, then God comes in chapter 15 and formalizes that promise, makes the official covenant with Abraham. He reiterates that, yes, I will make you a great nation, a great name. I will give you descendants. I will bless you. But not only does he reinforce the promise, he actually directly addresses the fear that led to Abraham's failure. He says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." When Abraham was fearful for his own safety, God reminds him that he is faithful and will continue to protect and prosper Abraham. And then again, after the misstep with Hagar and that whole situation, God again comes in and reinforces his promise. He continues to demonstrate his faithfulness to Abraham. I'm the one who is going to make these things happen. This is still going to occur. And again, he addresses the fear that led Abraham to fail. Abraham was scared he'd never have a child due to his age, due to their ongoing struggles with fertility. And yet God says, "I will greatly increase your number." Every single time Abraham is overwhelmed by fear, God comes in and demonstrates his faithfulness to the promises he made to Abraham. And in so doing, he creates a platform, he creates a foundation that Abraham is then able to launch off and step out courageously. And we know that Abraham does receive those promises. He does have success. He is made into a great nation. He does have a son, Isaac. And that promise continues into the person of Jesus, the full fruition of that promise. And still continues today in each and every one of us. Abraham still had success. He still had courage, but it did not come from himself. He did not just have a Rocky Balboa moment and just kind of go up those steps and go, "Yeah, I'm going to do this." It was done for him by God, constantly, repeatedly, continuously reminding him of the promise that he had made and demonstrating that he is faithful to that promise. The success of Abraham is not because he mustered up some courage within himself. It is because of the faithfulness of God. It is because of what God did in and around Abraham that he was able to live a courageous life. And I think that this is an important thing for us to acknowledge, for us to understand as we too seek to live the courageous life. Because we're not just talking about being courageous for courage's sake. The courageous life that we seek to live out is a life in partnership with God for his plans and his purposes. There is something unique about the courage that we need and where we need to find it. And it doesn't start with us. The courage that we need to take up the invitation that God gives us every day, wherever we are, wherever we go, is not courage that is found within us, as Abraham demonstrates. It's courage that is established through the faithfulness of God, through the work that he does every day, in every life, in every situation. And I think when we mislocate our courage, when we think that the courage that we need in order to partner with God is meant to come from within, we run the risk of failing in one of two ways. And the first is that we go looking for courage within ourselves exclusively, and we come up wanting. We don't find it. And as a result, like Abraham, we can be overwhelmed, we can be crippled, we can be completely consumed by fear. And as a result, when it comes to participating with God, when it comes to stepping up into the invitation that he has for us, we only see our weaknesses. We only see our shortcomings. We only see our fear. And we start to think through those thoughts of, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I don't have the right words to say, the right skills needed, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, because we've thought that it needs to come from us and we haven't been able to find it, that courage that's required, we disqualify ourselves from the things of God. We step back and say, not me. It's like going into a job interview and only listing your weaknesses. No one does that. You embellish. Sure, I am proficient at Excel. I speak many languages and I'm more than happy to work holidays. You take the little things that you have, the few things that you're confident in, and you build them up in order to get the job. Why are we any different when it comes to the work of God? Why aren't we willing to just kind of go, well, I've got this. It might be small, but maybe God could do something great with it, because he hasn't demonstrated that he's done that multiple times before. But instead, we get so in our minds about what we can't do, we allow fear to disqualify us from the very work of God. That's one of the ways in which we can fail when we try and find courage within ourselves. But there's another, because sometimes we can go looking for that courage and we can find it. Whoa, and then we've got pep in our step. Then we've got a passion. Then we've got a surge. All of a sudden, I've got ideas. I've got my own plans. I've got my own perspectives. Just come and listen to me and I'll tell you what we need to do, because I can see a way forward. And all of a sudden, the plans that were God's all of a sudden become our own. We become so courageous that we're almost dominating. We get tunnel vision and we forget that this isn't actually about us. It's like having that team project. We've all had it, whether it's at school, uni, or work. And you've got that one person who just overwhelms the room. They've got all the ideas. And because no one else could possibly fulfill them in the right way, they just take on all the tasks. massive control freak. That was me at uni. I speak from experience. And all of a sudden, it doesn't become a team project. The outcome isn't a team effort. It's that one person. And so often when we seek the courage within ourselves, we can become that one person in what is meant to be a team effort of working in partnership with God. And all of a sudden it's about our plans, our purposes, and not about the plans and purposes of God. The courageous life does not come from within us. It is not determined by our faithfulness or faithlessness. It is not shaped by whether or not we have fear or courage. It is determined by the faithfulness of God. The fact that He is the one at work each and every day. He is the one who is making things happen. He is the one who made that promise to Abraham all those years ago, fulfilled it in Christ, and continues to see it take place every single day. And if we want to step into those plans, if we want to have the courage to take up that invitation, then we don't need to go looking for courage within us. Rather, we find the courage when we reflect on the faithfulness of God. That is the simple invitation. If we want to be courageous people, it starts by reflecting on what God has done in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in the history of our church, in the history of the church. Go as big or as small as you want. I don't really care. As long as we are people who see His fingertips, see His handiwork, see those coincidences that weren't coincidences, those answers to prayer, those opportunities that He makes available to us repeatedly, ongoingly, every single day. When we become people who reflect on that, who spend the time considering and thinking and looking back into the past of what God has done, what He continues to do, and what He will do, that allows us to then have confidence to step out in courage, to step into the uncertainty, regardless of fear, regardless of what we find within ourselves, because it has already been established around us. God has already given us the reason, the means, and the opportunity to be courageous. If you've been around our church for a while, you would know that there was a time where we would celebrate these stories in our services. We would have my story. And we would hear people tell these stories of how God was at work in their lives, how they had seen God at work in their lives or the lives of those around them. And we didn't tell those stories because they gave us warm, fuzzy feelings. We didn't tell those stories to self-congratulate. We told those stories because we understood the significance of what it was to reflect on a God who is at work, who is present. It spurs us on. It gives us the confidence to be courageous. Because if it happens in your life, it can happen in my life. If God did that there, then surely He can do that here. If we want to be people who step into the courageous life, if we want to participate with God courageously, then it starts by understanding and reflecting on His faithfulness. It starts with sharing the stories. It starts with reflecting on where He's been at work. And when we see God in what He is doing, when we actually have eyes that are open to the work that He is fulfilling, then we won't be able to help ourselves. Because the glory of God will be so appealing, His restorative work will be so exciting that we will have no other option but to step out in courage and to participate with Him, not because of what we bring to the situation, but because of what He is doing in every situation. So let's be people who start in the stories of his faithfulness and see where that might take us and how we can live the courageous life in that space. Amen. I'm going to invite Shelley and the team to come up and we're going to respond in a song of worship. During that time, Mark and I are going to be down the front. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. But as Shelley and Mark come forward, how about I pray for us now? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a God who is present in our world, who is at work in our world, Lord. You are not distant, but you are here. And Father, I pray that we can be people who have eyes open to see, ears to hear, and hearts ready to notice what you are doing in our life, what you are doing in our world and in our community. And Father, I pray that that be the foothold of where we find our courage, where we find that space and that place to step into your work. Father, I pray that we don't get distracted with what we bring to the equation, but only focus on what you are doing in all things. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
We hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are The Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.